The last few weeks we have been looking at prayer, what prayer is, how we should pray, parts of prayers. This morning we want to look at for what should we pray. And I'd like for us to begin by looking at an Old Testament passage, Psalms 37, verse 4. Please turn with me and read that verse with me. Psalms 37, and let's look at verse 4. It's a great verse. I think it's an uplifting, encouraging verse. Psalms 37, verse 4 says this, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." Of course, one way He gives us the desires of our heart is through answering our prayers. This past week, we've certainly seen some of these desires of our heart coming to pass. We have seen rain come. That has been a desire of our heart for some time. We have seen good news from Lynn, much better news than maybe we first thought. That's certainly seen in God's answering prayers on His behalf. We had the opportunity Wednesday night of hearing my cousin Gene preach up at Joplin, and that was one of the desires of my heart, was to hear him, and it was one of the best gospel sermons I've heard in many, many years. And Lord willing, if all works out, he agreed to hold us a gospel meeting next year, 2007. So I was really glad about that, because the lesson we heard Wednesday night was just outstanding, and all the men we talked to, all the people we talked to up at 26th of Connecticut said it was one of the best gospel meetings they have ever had. And I can see why, if the other lessons were anywhere as good as the one we heard Wednesday night. So I'm already looking forward to the year 2007. I think it'll be a great gospel meeting. So many prayers were answered this week, and we need to thank God for answered prayers. But we certainly never want to think that prayer is just some sort of personal wish list and that God is some sort of Santa Claus type individual, because He's certainly not. But He does want to grant us the desires of our heart. But of course, we need to, as this verse says, delight in the Lord. See, there's something we are to do. We're to delight in Him. And so we need to think about that when we go to Him in prayer. And this study that we've had the past few weeks, and we still have another lesson or two left in studying prayer, should hopefully help all of us in our prayer lives. This morning we want to look at three general topics concerning for what should we pray. David read a passage that will begin the first topic, and that is, there are some prayers we should pray that are for all people. If you notice what David read this morning there in 1 Timothy 2, he said, or the verse says, and maybe you're still there, I don't know if you are or not, but it says that, "I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, regardless of whether they are believers or not." So all men deserve our prayers. In particular, he talks about rulers, kings, and all that are in authority. Why should we pray for that? Why should we be praying for our president, the leaders of other countries? He says the reason for that here is that we would end up having an environment in which people will have the opportunity to hear the truth and obey it. That's why. So when we pray about the leaders of our country, the leaders of foreign countries, the ultimate reason for praying for those individuals is so that the gospel could be preached in all of those areas. Let's remember to do that. Let's remember to do that. Because in many places, some of the most populated countries in the world, you're not allowed to preach the gospel publicly. Of course, communist China being probably the greatest example of that. People, of course, are preaching the gospel in communist China, but it's done illegally, it's done underground, which is the only way to do it there now. And I'm thankful for all those people who are doing illegal things in China. It's okay to do illegal things sometimes. And I'm thankful for them because they take their lives, you might say, into their own hands every day by what they're doing. But there are many places where you cannot preach the gospel without being persecuted or tortured or thrown into jail if found out. So we need to pray for the leaders of all countries so that the gospel can be preached in all circumstances. We also need to, along with that, in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul makes this point when he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." You know, something that should be included in our prayers as often as we can remember to do so is to pray for all of those who are still unbelievers, which of course is the vast majority of the world. Pray that as many as possible will be saved, as many as possible will have the opportunity to hear the gospel preached. You know, here in America, especially in this area, we have such an easy access to hear the gospel preached. Now you go up into some of the northern states, it's much more difficult. Denise and I lived in western Kentucky for a while. And within an hour of there, it was difficult to find a place where you could hear the gospel preached. Within an hour. That you would have to go a long ways from there before you would get to a place where you couldn't hear the gospel preached, but not so. There was no church but this one little group in the whole county. And that was just about an hour, a little over, right there in Kentucky, the place where the church grew so quickly back in the 1800s, early 1900s. Not so anymore. So we need to pray for as many as possible to hear the opportunity to hear the gospel. Include that in your prayers. We need to. And pray for those willing to preach that gospel. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, Paul requests people's prayers. Ephesians 6, verses 18 and 19. Notice what Paul says. After listing the armor that the child of God needs to wear, talks about the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me. Paul specifically asks the Christians in Ephesus to pray for him, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now here's an apostle who had the power to raise people from the dead. He had the power to cure people that had incurable diseases. He could speak in languages he had never taken the time to learn. He could do all of those things, and yet he finds it necessary to ask the people in Ephesus, the saints in Ephesus, to pray for him so that he could preach the gospel boldly. Well, if Paul needed that prayer, then everybody today that's preaching the gospel needs that prayer also. So don't forget, please, please remember to pray for all of those who are preaching the gospel, whether it's in this country or in any other country in the world. So pray for all men. Pray for leaders, the rulers of countries. Pray for all of those who are willing to preach the gospel so that they can have an environment, conditions, circumstances, situations in which they can freely preach the gospel. That needs to be way up on our prayer list. Please do that. The Bible also says there are some specific things to pray for concerning just those who are believers. Just those who are believers. Let's look at a few of those. In Colossians chapter 1, just a few pages on over from where you were there in Ephesians, Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, we have here a list of things that we're to pray for other Christians. Okay, not non-Christians, not unbelievers, but Christians, primarily for their growth. And maybe we should write some of these things down. I have to write things down or just don't remember them. And in this study the past few weeks, I have found things that I had not been praying for very regularly. Here's one of them. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now, all of that, Paul says, are things we're to be praying for each other. Look at all these things. We're to pray that each of us will be filled with the knowledge of His will. So I need to be praying for you, and you need to be praying for me, that we will increase in our knowledge of God's will. That needs to be in our prayers. I'm praying for you, you're praying for me, so that our knowledge of God's will increase. We need to be praying that our walk will be worthy of the Lord. Pray that my life will be worthy of the Lord, and I'll pray for your life that it'll be worthy of the Lord. These are things that the Bible tells us to be praying for. Fellow saints, pray that we'll be fruitful. Pray that I'll be fruitful in my work. I'm going to be praying that you'll be fruitful in your work. That we'll be able to produce good works in the kingdom. Every good work. Pray that we'll be strengthened. This is something else we need to pray for each other. That you'll be stronger and that I'll be stronger. Remember, the world doesn't like Christians. Never has, never will. That's the way the world is. The world walks in darkness, Christians walk in the light. Darkness and light don't mix. So pray that I will be strengthened. I'll be praying that you will be strengthened. Pray that I'll have patience and long-suffering with joy. And I'll be praying for you that you'll have patience and long-suffering with joy. And hopefully all of us will be giving thanks to the Father for all of these things. These are things we're to be praying for other Christians. All of those things are needed, necessary, they're essential, and let's never forget them. Growth of each other. Along that same line, turn a few pages over, just from where you are, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Just a couple of pages. Notice, of course, this is written to Christians. Notice verses 2 and 3. These are some other things we're to be praying for. It says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. How often do you make mention of other Christians in your prayers? He says, in particular, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. Did you notice the particulars there? He says, we are in our prayers to make mention of each other, and in particular, mention each other's work in the Lord, service in the Lord. I need to be making mention of those who went up and visited the Sweetwoods. I know several of you did. I need to be making mention in my prayers of those who called them, who did things for them. I need to be making mention in my prayers those who have done various works, various service for the Lord. I need to be making mention of those things in my prayers. How often have we been doing that? Making mention of each other in our prayers. The works, the service, the fruit. We need to be doing that. That's what the Bible says. Be praying for those things. Things that the saints do. Also, a few more pages over in your Bible to James chapter 5. This is such an important thing to remember in your prayers. James 5, beginning in verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Skip down to verse 19. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. This is something we need to do so often. Pray for those who are spiritually sick, and there is a host of them. There's a multitude of them who have maybe started losing part of their faith for a multitude of reasons. Sometimes we lose our faith when physical problems come into our life, when financial problems come into our life, when people treat us in certain ways, we tend to lose our faith. So at those moments, we need the prayers of other saints. We need to pray for those who have completely left the Lord, as he mentions in 19 and 20. Someone who's wandered away from the truth. They have wandered off the path. We need to pray for those that they will come back. We need to pray for people who will be willing to try and get them to come back. Because it says the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And primarily the context is talking about those who are spiritually sick. So if that verse means anything, it means that our prayers can help someone who's wandered from the truth, whose faith has faltered, to come back. So our prayers can be effective. Let's remember to pray for those who are spiritually sick. Don't forget that. That is so important. Now let's go. Things that we need to pray about ourselves. We've looked at things to pray for all men, some specific things to pray for concerning just the saints, and finally, things about ourselves. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, Jesus mentions in the Sermon on the Mount one of those first things. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. This is in what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer, or maybe more appropriately, the disciples' prayer. It says in verse 11, one of the things to pray for is, give us this day our daily bread. Now, while that may include a lot of things, it certainly includes the basics of daily life. Whatever it is we need in our daily lives, we need to pray for. But that is conditional. That is conditional. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, there's a condition attached to that that's mentioned in verse 33 of that same chapter. Because verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So our part, besides praying, is to make sure we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So see, there is something we must do. It's not the idea that we pray God that He will grant us all of these things and we sit back and wait for them to drop out of heaven. He expects us to be seeking Him first, always. See, that's the condition attached to it. But we need to pray for those daily things. Most of us, I would say in this room, all of us, are granted all of those things every day. All those basic, essential necessities of life, we have. I would say everyone in here has those things. A lot of people in the world don't, though, but I would say we do. But God wants us to continue to pray for them every day. Every day. With the condition that we seek the kingdom first every day as well. We need to pray for relief from worry and fear. Do you ever pray for relief from worry and fear? Maybe you never worry or have fear. I know I do. I have a lot of both. And the Bible says to do what? Pray for relief from those things. Philippians chapter 4 is a classic text about that. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing. Some translations have the word worry there. Some say don't worry about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But again, we have some responsibility there, don't we? We first have to go to Him in prayer. That's what He says. If we expect any type of relief from anxiety or worry or fear, we have to pray about it. So we do have a responsibility. And He says, make sure you let your request be made known. If you want relief from anxiety or worry or fear or any of these other type of things, let your request be made known. And it says, the peace of God, which goes way beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's as if He is to set up a guard or a sentinel in our mind to help keep out those things that causes worry, fear, anxiety, and so forth. And right along with that, we can pray to God that our afflictions be removed. Remember Jonah? Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Let's go back and read that. Oops, went too far. Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Jonah's in the belly of the great fish. It says in verse 1, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Remember what we read there in James about if any of us are sick, we're to pray. Whether that's physical sickness or spiritual sickness, mental sickness, any type of affliction, we are to pray for. Jonah had a number of afflictions. One of his afflictions was a lack of faith, right? One of them was a lack of faith. And he prayed to be delivered. And of course, God delivered him. In a way, Jonah would have never guessed, but he was delivered. We can pray for deliverance from evil, and we should pray, because we live in an evil world. If you don't think this world is evil, you've been staying in your house too much. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13 says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The word one is not actually there in the original language. It's just deliver us from evil. All kinds of evil, which of course would include the evil one. But deliver us from evil, all kinds of evil. I think this includes praying that we will be spared the type of testing that might cause us to fall. This says, do not lead us into temptation. Of course, God doesn't tempt us to sin. That comes from the world, from Satan, from the powers of the world. But we are to pray to be delivered from those things. That's what he says right there in the prayer. Deliver us from all kinds of evil, regardless of what kind of evil it is. Ask to be delivered. Have you prayed that lately, to be delivered from evil? Along with that, the Bible tells us to pray to be delivered from our enemies. You know, this was one of the main themes of the Psalms. We'll just read one today. Psalms 18, beginning in verse 6. Of course, many of these, as 18 is, this is considered to be a Psalm of David. Psalms 18, verse 6. David says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears." Now let's read what he was crying out to God about. Go down to verse 16. "He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me." Goes back to the very first verse we read, doesn't it? We need to pray to be delivered from evil, pray to be delivered from our enemies. Christians have enemies. The stronger the Christian, the more enemies that Christian will probably have. And lastly, pray for wisdom. This, of course, goes back to the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 5. Says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." This isn't a miraculous wisdom. God doesn't suddenly make us the wisest person in the world. We, of course, have responsibility too. But we need to pray for discernment, to understand the difference between right and wrong, to know the difference between right and wrong, to be able to make good judgments, to discern, to make that distinction between what's right and what's wrong. And sometimes it is difficult. We need to pray for that. And finally, as we think about what we need to do to be saved, prayer is also involved in that. First of all, for the child of God, for the one who has been immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins, let's notice Acts chapter 8, a specific account of an individual who had become a Christian, who had obeyed Christ, who had experienced baptism. Acts chapter 8, verse 13, first of all. "Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done." Simon became a Christian. He had placed his faith in Christ. He had repented. He had made that great confession that he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he had been baptized. He was a child of God. But this child of God, we find out, sins. Let's go down, verse 22. See what Peter tells him to do. It says, "Repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you." What did he need to do? Repent and pray to God. That's what Christians need to do today. They don't need to be baptized every time they sin, but they need to repent of that sin and pray to God for forgiveness. So Simon gives us a great lesson as to how someone is forgiven. They must believe, they must repent, confess, and then be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. And then after that, when sin enters their life, they need to repent and pray to God for forgiveness. Simple, but effective. And this morning, as you think about your own condition, do you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? Do you need to ask for the prayers of the congregation? If you do, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus.